I don't know whether I'm more embarrassed by the fact that I had no idea what was going on with the actor's strike, or the fact that I did a mini cram session by talking to a friend and then actually watching a segment from a news institution as mind-numbingly tedious as the Today Show, which I have zero respect for. Granted, it did give me an illustrated idea of what is going on with the actor's strike. And this is not me making a video voicing my support. I mean, obviously, my support for anything that is artistic over financial is very apparent because, one, I think it's ridiculous that a lot of creatives out there, whether they be painters, actors, writers, designers, anyone with an artistic craving should be paid what they're worth, or at least paid something that gives them the chance to make a living off it rather than being repeatedly fucked over to a point where the fact that not only are they being paid shit wages, but the fact that they're even being denied health insurance or even given shit health insurance is absurd. Now, I can't believe I needed to watch the Today Show because there was a part where they actually mentioned that not all actors make the money that Tom Cruise or Harrison Ford makes. I think anybody with half a brain cell can determine that. But sadly, that is still a fact that is very relevant to the type of living and the types of risks that most actors have to make in order to make a decent living or break out in an industry like Hollywood, which has become less and less credible over the years. I mean, the fact that studios nowadays are more focused on money as opposed to creative projects is forcing a lot of actors, directors, and writers to become more independent is absurd. Now, granted, independence is a good thing. It gives room for the independent world to garner more respectability. But it's also very sad that when I was discussing in my review for The Good Shepherd, that I could not see a film like that being made today, and not because nobody would believe in it, but because the fact of the matter is, studios just wouldn't have, well, no creatives wouldn't have any belief in it. I actually believe a lot of actors and writers would have the belief in a film like The Good Shepherd, which is meticulous, very detail-oriented. It actually cares about the story, and it actually feels like it has scenes rather than just quick cuts. And I guess what I mean by that is that it actually takes its time and is not worried with playing with the attention span of an audience. But then again, that was pre-iPhone. And since then, our attention spans have been severely depleted, that it's virtually impossible for people to watch a film for 5 minutes without looking over their phone. That's why someone like me leaves it in the other room. But going back to the belief that studios have in movies of a similar degree, I don't see The Good Shepherd being made by a major motion picture studio unless it had a big name tied to it. I'm pretty sure that Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer, given the critical praise and acclaim it's already received, is a film like, well, not, I'm going to say it's the same as The Good Shepherd, because, I mean, Robert De Niro and Christopher Nolan are two virtually different directors. But the point I'm making is that it's definitely a film that it actually treats itself as if it is cinema. Well, I mean, it is cinema, it is Christopher Nolan, and he is an auteur, but you get the point. I mean, it's a major, it does have a big budget, it's produced by a major studio, but it also does give a shit about the story and what it's really trying to accomplish as opposed to just making money. As to how much money it's going to make, it's hard to tell. I mean, COVID wasn't very kind to Christopher Nolan's Tenet, which should have gotten much more money, especially given the plot and the fact that it was a science fiction film. Oppenheimer is more of a historical biography, and look, a lot of historical biopics have their place in the box office. But when it comes to someone like J. Robert Oppenheimer, I'm not sure how many people would be interested in that unless you're a history buff and you really are Christopher, or just simply a Christopher Nolan fan. Thankfully, Christopher Nolan has the Dark Knight trilogy and films like Inception and Dunkirk to increase the credibility of his reputation to garner much more audiences. And he's always been treated the audience with a lot of respect. But that's very different as to how studios treat the audience, or even the people employed under them, like the actors, the writers, or and just anybody that works on a film. And now that they're denying them health insurance, I just think to myself, it's just it's like they just want to shoot themselves in the foot. I mean, even from that Today Show segment, the fact that I learned that the implications of the actor strike could mean is that actors won't be able to even campaign for the same stupid award shows that pretty much paint Hollywood in a much more positive light. It's almost like Hollywood is trying to initiate its own self-destruction. That, I mean, I don't see a benefit of that. But then again, I think when you look at when you listen to enough of Joe Rogan and how he comments on non-studio executives necessarily, even though he has, given that he did act for a considerable period of time in a show called Talk Radio, he was very critical of studio executives and how these boardrooms are filled with idiots who only think about money, but they only think about it in a short-term level, which actually is a very destructive way of making money or even managing money. I mean, I've spoken about my love for Bitcoin, and one of the things I've learned about Bitcoin over time is that one subject that you constantly hear in Bitcoin podcasts or any Bitcoin circles is the idea of short-term and long-term preference in terms of money, in terms of implementing money. The long-term preference, obviously, is people that obviously think about what use the money will have on a long-term basis, that they'll deny themselves the kind of gratification. And in the case of a Bitcoiner, stacking sats has always been important. And that's something Bitcoiners do on a systematic and periodic level. They stack as many sats, knowing that even though they're not worth significantly much now, as Bitcoin adoption increases and the price increases, especially with the appeal of decentralization and how it's non-inflationary, how the money can't be inflated away like most fiat currencies, there's a benefit to that. Short-term preference is basically the kind of logic that justifies where a person justifies themselves making the quick buck as soon as possible to satisfy some short-term gratification or some desperate need they feel they have to fulfill. Now, I'm not condemning anybody who abides by that, because there are times where you do need cash fast and you do need to use it to fulfill a certain need. But then there are just those people who need cash fast to fulfill some stupid gratification that might as well be equivalent to that of a vice. And I feel the studios have been doing that for such a long time that it feels like they're just deliberately implementing their own self-destruction. And I've often thought of that within the sense of the superhero model. Now, I'm not going to deny that superhero films make a lot of money. I mean, they pump out, they're based on high budgets, and they pump out hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, every year. But that's a short-term gain. Yeah, I'm not saying that I wouldn't want $1 billion. Fucking A, I would. Somebody has $1 billion they want to give for me out of the goodness of their own heart, which I'm not counting on, feel free to check up, to email me and tell me where I can get it. But although that's a lot of money for a short, it does happen over a short period of time in comparison to the long term, because let's face it, some of the greatest films in cinema came out in the 70s. I mean, that was a high point of cinema for the West. And those films have been culturally recognized as icons. I'm talking about films like Taxi Driver, Clute, The Parallax View, All the President's Men. What else? Oh, God. I think, yeah, The Deer Hunter. All those films, The Godfather, they're all culturally recognized as landmarks of cinema. And they probably made money over a long period of time. Or maybe they didn't make much money. Some of them didn't make the money that they were based off originally. And yet, that's obviously changed over a period of time as they've garnered more respect and credibility and recognition. As opposed to these superhero films, well, among a lot of them, because when I'm talking about superhero films, I'm primarily taking a dump on the MCU, because there are a lot of films in the MCU I think are great films and have had an impact and even take a lot of elements of cinema that make them stand out for the much more standard flavor of the week MCU films. I mean, in 20 years from now, nobody's going to give a fuck about something like Ant-Man. I mean, sorry, Paul Rudd, even though you're funny, I mean, I'm not a big fan of those movies, and it's just, I think that given that I've read about the character of Ant-Man in Marvel Comics, I think that he's a much deeper character than what the films are going for, because they're too terrified that it'll distance themselves from audiences. And I understand that perfectly. But also, you have to factor in the long-term effects of the short-time preference the studios clearly are abiding by when they're trying to save up or cut out creatives out of as much money as humanly possible. And now with the idea of AI being used within cinema is very terrifying. I'm not saying I'm anti-AI, because I do believe it implemented well and regulated to in a very responsible way. It can be useful, especially in terms of job creation, even a new means of job training. But when you have a Joe Rogan interview where he interviews Steve Jobs, and that never happened, yet it looks as real as my own hand does on a camera screen, that's something to be terrified, because that just means that they can replace any actor at any moment if the technology becomes advanced enough. I mean, I learned from that Today Show segment, because I still haven't seen, well, I haven't seen the Indiana Jones film. I don't know if I am interested, because to be honest, I only cared for the first one. And I know that may make me come off as kind of an asshole, but I'm just not crazy about them. I mean, I don't want to say they're overrated, because I didn't really see the third one. I saw the fourth one and I enjoyed it, but then I came to realize how kind of absurd it was. The first one was great. The second one, I gave it 15 minutes, which pretty much sums up my feelings towards it. Anything goes. Wow. But going back to my rant about superhero films and the long-term implications of making the short buck, I mean, nobody's going to care about Ant-Man. Nobody's going to care about Shang-Chi. Nobody's going to care about any of the MCU shows that came out following Endgame, because, I mean, a lot of them, I heard, started out, they all follow the similar trend of starting out good for the most part, and then near the end, fucking themselves over with an ending, whether it was WandaVision, whether it was Moon Knight, or Hawkeye, and I think I heard Loki was much more daring. I don't know. I haven't seen them, because frankly, I think when it came to Endgame, that's really where they should have just ended it. No pun intended. But I did like Spider-Man No Way Home. I hated Far From Home, but No Way Home was an exceptional film and something I really appreciated. But that was just the Spider-Man fan in me. And even a studio shouldn't try and kiss the superhero fan in me rather than telling a good story. But this goes beyond just the idea of superhero films. The fact that they're just trying to cut out, you know, save as much money as possible at the expense of their creatives, which they really do depend on, because even if they are able to improve AI technology to a point where they won't really need those actors as much as they did before, they're still going to need them to promote the very things that make people still believe that they are a credible institution of recognition or even respectability. Because the fact that a lot of those streaming shows and those award shows that we've stopped giving a shit for the most part, do depend on these actors and creatives campaigning, because nobody's going to give a damn for the advertisements some boardroom executive with no personality, no real people skills, and no articulate taste in anything artistic can really sell. I mean, they'll look no different from the stereotype dickhead salesman who is just two lame-ass jokes away from outing themselves as a total bullshitter. Again, I know this is coming off as a bit of a rant, but I feel confused at how an industry with so much money and such an understanding how to make so much money with certain genres just does things that deliberately shoots itself in the foot. I mean, I used to think by being greedy enough, they could make as much money as humanly possible. But now they've just done something that's probably going to cost them hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in the long term, especially when a lot of mainstream actors like Matt Damon are pretty much going along with these actors on strike to tell them this is fucking bullshit, this is ridiculous. And even with the idea of insurance, I mean, the fact that they're being denied health insurance is ridiculous because you don't any actor, they don't have to be Tom Cruise or Keanu Reeves to willfully take risks on a film set that could potentially injure them. And if they're not covered by that, that's just beyond fucked up. But anyway, I guess my final thoughts on the actor strike, because I can't go on a 30-minute rant about that. That would be kind of absurd, dumb, narcissistic of me as a way of getting attention, even though maybe this whole video is my way of getting attention, given that I did admit to doing a dumbass cram session by watching Today Show to just about learn what the hell was going on with the actor strike. Jesus. That's something I'm going to have to think about and reflect on in the most existential voice possible. Anyway, to end this rant, obviously I'm in support of the actors striking because getting fucked over is never fun, and getting fucked over by a bunch of people who are soulless, selfish, and just overall lacking any sense of artistic credibility, as opposed to just financing these same artistic projects, which I could look forward to. Yeah, that just sucks. So, for those of you who don't see me as a total pessimist or a total cynic going off on a rant, I hope you glean some entertainment from this. And if you have any thoughts of your own, don't hesitate to make your own recording because, frankly, I think the more people voice about this, I hope the more people talk about these kind of events and why they're relevant. Maybe it can serve as an additional form of pushback because, hey, I mean, studio executives. Financially suicidal as they are proving to be, they are not completely brain dead. And I'll end it with that. Anyway, check out the Bitcoin buying links I've left down below for you. You know about the, for those of you who have listened to previous episodes of this podcast, you know about the sponsors of this podcast and how they can benefit you. And till next time.